Good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad everybody can make it this morning. If you're visiting, thanks for coming. Remember the Harvest Day goal? We got 8,000 for this month, and there's a basket back there. Or if you want part of your check or part of your offering that you got in an envelope to go toward the Harvest Day, be sure and mark it that way. So the guys counting the money will know where to put your money. Okay, we got Sunday school classes immediately following the worship service, so stay if you can, and if you don't know where your class is, why, just ask about anybody around here. We go down, we got the prayer and Bible study, of course, Wednesday night, Crusader Club on Thursday, and the Baptist Children's Home, they're having a food shower for Thanksgiving for them, so if you can help out there, out on the table in the front, there's a list of things they need, so you can kind of use that as a guide for what you get them. And I think you got to have that in by the November 25th. That's not tomorrow, but the next Monday. And down at the bottom, they're going to update the church directory, so if anything's changed in your address, phone number, whatever, just put it on that, and you can throw that little piece there in the offering plate, and we'll take care of it. We got the memory verse for this week. James 1, verse 4. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. And I got a couple more announcements here. The people who are in charge of the offices of the church, if you have a budget and you want a change in it, contact Dave Wireman as soon as you can if you need a change there. And also anyone that's in an elected position in the church, let Pastor know if you don't want to continue in that position, and he'll take care of that. So thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Thank you for coming. We're glad that you're here to worship with us. And we'll have a good time worshiping together. Thank you for all your prayers and the phone calls, words of encouragement. Linda did just fine on her surgery, as did Tom. He's doing better. He's tougher than her. He's here. She's not. But everything's come along fine, and we certainly appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much. Please put Melinda Kniebel, or keep her, on your prayer list. She's in the hospital, IU at Lafayette, and Melinda is not unbalanced. Got it? Her medicine is. So they're just trying to get that straightened out. And you pray for her. She's doing just fine. We saw her yesterday, and she would appreciate your prayers. You can see all the other things that are going on there. And just take advantage of as many things you can. God is a great God. Amen? Amen. Let's bow in prayer and ask him to minister to us. Let's bow in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we rejoice with you in this another day. Thank you for the gift of allowing us to be ministered to today. Thank you for the privilege of worship. Thank you for our great salvation in Christ. You are a great and awesome God. You are to be honored and glorified. You are to be lifted high. And thank you, Father, for all that you do. We are so richly blessed. We have come to meet, and we have come to lift our voice in song, to lift our prayers to you, and to be quiet before you as you speak to us from your word. And that is our prayer in this hour, that our lives will be changed because we have been here to worship the Lord God of heaven. And we thank you for the privilege. We also thank you for the blessing, the privilege of sharing our tithes and offerings. We thank you for your financial ministry to us, the way you have blessed us. And we pray that you will continue to guide us and speak to us in such a way that that ministry can continue. We love you, Father, and we lift our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning will be from Matthew chapter 6. Verses 25 through 34. And while you're looking for that, I'm going to give you an update on Joyce. A little over a year ago, she had a cochlear implant done. And we've been going back down to Riley for tune-ups and checkups. And I think it was in May. What they do is put you in a soundproof booth and plug the one ear, and you're just hearing off the cochlear device. And they'll say a sentence, and they'll grade you on how many of them words you can repeat back to them in that sentence. And in May, she come out with a 24%. So Thursday, I took her back down, and she went through the same process. And she's over 90% now. So we want to thank both of you. Both of us want to thank the church for their prayers, for their help in this. If you can please stand now, and we're going to have scripture reading and get these tears out of my eyes. Maybe I can read. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or drink or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Will you bow with me in prayer? Our God, our Father, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Redeemer, thank you that you are a God who is a God of infinity. Your love will never run out, nor will any other part of you that ministers to us, that provides for us, that watches over us and cares for us. We are a people that have been drawn by the call of God to the very God of creation, and we thank you, Father. We are overwhelmed by your goodness in our daily life. We are blessed when you speak to us from your word, and we are privileged to bow our hearts before you in prayer and know in confidence that you will hear and answer our prayers. And so we thank you for all that you have given us. It is our privilege to sit before you and allow you from the living word of God to speak to our hearts and minister to us and teach us and help us understand through the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have been in battle this week, and you know that. And we need what you have for us. We need for you to remind us to seek first your kingdom and not to worry about anything. And Father, we need to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for those wonders that you have performed in our lives this past week. Every one of us have been touched in some way by the grace and the power, the love, the mercy, the kindness, the patience of God, and we are the better for it. But we need what you have for us this day. And so we pray that you'll teach us. Thank you for watching over all of those who were who had surgery in these past days. And I thank you that Tom and Linda are doing well, and I pray that you'll continue to heal them, strengthen them, that they might soon be about their normal activities. Thank you for all those who have ministered to them. Thank you for this great church family. And Father, there are those of our number this morning who are here, and they are walking through the valley of the shadow, and I pray, God, that you will allow them to feel your strong right hand upon them, and I pray that you will soon reach down and take hold of them, lift them up, and set them in a spacious place. So give us patience to wait upon you. And now, Father, we turn to the ministry of the Word of God. And again, we just ask you to be God. We love you and we praise and honor and glorify you. And we bring all of this to you in the eternal, mighty, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I am blessed because I don't have to often stand. I never have to stand and say, now our budget's in trouble and you need to give. That's just not part of the whole plan of things here, because you folks have a generous heart. You folks follow the Lord in the area of giving. I will go to my grave believing with all of my heart it is because of your strong interest in missions and your desire to be a part of a missions program that is far-reaching. It ministers right in this room, and it ministers all around the world. And you've heard me say before that I believe God blesses a church, especially financially, based on its own personal missions program. I believe God moves the church forward when its men get on its knees and pray. And that's beginning. And so we are richly blessed. And in prayer meeting back in September or sometime, somebody said, wealth in some ways is a state of mind. And you know what? From a spiritual viewpoint, that's right. If you ask any true Christian living in a third world country, they will tell you they are richer than they can imagine. Would that be your perspective? We've seen that physical wealth is often God's blessing to the dedication of his adopted children who offer their whole life to him in thanksgiving for their salvation and the ministry that he brings to them. We've heard Moses tell Israel never to forget the Lord their God, to worship him, to observe and obey his laws, to serve the God who delivered them out of Egypt. Solomon asked God for wisdom, an 18-year-old king, king of the most powerful nation in the world. There's a prestigious position to hold. And God said to this 18-year-old boy, ask me for whatever you will, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, please give me wisdom that I might lead your people in the way you want them to go. I'm just a child, and I don't know how to do it. And God says to him, because you asked me for wisdom and you did not ask me for power or wealth or fame or any of those things, I will give those to you in measure that no other man will ever have. And now, this week and next week, we're going to let Jesus talk to us about biblical wealth and kind of how that works.
I picked this passage because to me this is just one of those outstanding passages in Scripture, and it's like so many others, it's so common to us, we have a tendency to let it ricochet off and not pay much attention to it. But there really is a key to biblical wealth. And beloved, you understand that if you are rich God's way first, you become wealthy in other ways secondarily. But it has to be from God's viewpoint. And so many of you understand that, and many of you are wealthy in your heart because you do walk with the Lord in the ways we've already suggested. But let's look specifically at verse 33 this morning. Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." We find first that there is a necessary practice. A necessary practice. Do you remember a few weeks ago I put this slide on the screen? I said, the indicative or the command, what God the indicative is what God has done for us in Christ. That sort of sets the stage, and it is always the basis for the imperative or how we should live. We look at what God has done, and we have a response to that. Now, in our situation today, we can say this. The indicative is your heavenly Father knows you have need of everything. In fact, God knows exactly what you're going to need to the degree you're going to need it for every day, for the rest of eternity, and has already got a fully developed plan to provide it for you so that you receive the most high or the highest possible benefit from it. God knows your need. The response to that then is, or the imperative, don't worry. It's very simple. Because God knows, I don't need to worry. He has it completely in hand. And Jesus is telling us, because of God's knowledge of our need, you and I are free to seek the kingdom of God. Matthew wrote it, and that word seeking is this. Are you ready? It is a present active imperative form of the verb. Aren't you glad you came today? Huh? Does that just lift you out of your seat? Wow. Do you know what Pastor told us this week? No, what did he tell you? I forget. Because are you like, now you're probably not like me, but remember in, when was it, third or fourth grade English, when they tell you this is what a verb is, and they say, now you have to learn all of these cases and derivatives, and you have to learn all these verb forms so you can talk proper-like. And I thought they were teasing, so I never did it. But if we take that, by the way, I learned later on in Greek, that's the only way you can translate anything is understanding exactly how they said it in the sentence, because they do it a little differently than we do. But for our purposes, here's what that means. Jesus is telling us seeking is your, it comes to you like this, is an unending pursuit that cannot be completed in this lifetime. Beloved, let me tell you something. Take this idea of seeking, and somewhere in your notes write Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 or 7. Because when you go back and you read those, you're going to find that Solomon wrote an Old Testament definition of this when he tells you how to seek the wisdom and riches of God. It is, if you will, a full-time endeavor. Jesus is telling us this. Seeking is not a casual thing that you and I can do when it's convenient. Seeking is one of the foundation pillars of the normal Christian life. And so may I ask you this? Is seeking a driving part of your life? Are you hungry to know all of God and His Word and His law and everything about Him? Is there a constant thirst within you? Is there a constant drive? Jesus says that's where it begins. And may I suggest to you, and if you don't like the way I'm saying it, you go to someone that you believe in your heart is a man or woman who walks with the Lord on a daily basis and ask them this question. When you have a desire, when you seek, and you seek with all your heart, does God reveal Himself to you? Does God open up? Do you find out things that you didn't know before, and does it happen to you without that old windbag having to tell you? And they will say, yes, God in fact does speak to me as an individual. When I seek God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, God does reveal Himself to me in new and wonderful ways that I never thought possible. And so Jesus is saying, this seeking consumes your life. It is the necessary practice upon which you base your life if you want to be wealthy God's way. With a necessary practice, of course, there must come a necessary priority, and Jesus helps us with that. We're told to seek first, above all else. The concise Oxford English Dictionary defines first like this. This is surprising to you, isn't it? First would come before all others? That it would be the foremost in position, rank, or importance. Okay? Now, there's only four red places for you to fill in. It can't take that long. Huh? Now, let me ask you a question. If we start listing everything about your life, everything, and I say, start writing down everything about your life, at what point do you write God and all things God? That's where you start. And if somebody says to you, everything about your life, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And it will tell you your true priorities concerning God. If God is not first, foremost, above all else, holding the top place, you are seeking the wrong thing first. Jesus is not telling us here seeking the kingdom of God first is a top priority. He is teaching us here seeking the kingdom of God first and God's righteousness is the only priority. And when that is your only priority, all other things fit where they're supposed to, even in the worst kind of adversity. When you seek God first. It's all through Scripture. It means, basically, that you begin to understand how God makes this thing work. Would you look with me, please? I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. There are a couple of kind of interesting things here. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, is that right? Now, wait a minute. and verse 29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look with him with all your heart and with all your soul. Beloved, I don't know if you mark in your Bible or not. If you do, it's okay. If you don't, that's okay too. But you need to make note of that. Moses is telling us under God's inspiration, you don't find God casually. You look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. And what that means is this. You desire more than anything with all of your emotion, with all of your thought processes, with all of your feelings, you desire to find God. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you in the later days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by an oath. God will not forget you. He will not forsake you. God cannot forsake you. So I don't know if that's what you're thinking this morning. I'm God forsaken. God forgot about me. Wrong. Cannot, did not, will not. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, there's kind of that same indication here. 1 Samuel chapter 7, look at verse 2. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim, and the people of Israel mounted and sought after the Lord, mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said, the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord, what? With your heart. Then rid yourselves of the foreign god and the Ashtoreth and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. We can go on and on and on. Jeremiah 29:13 says that true Christians, those who walk with the Lord, know that first means that there is no reason, no time, no need to seek anything else, including what you wear, what you eat, what you drink, where you stay, even what you'll do. Now, to you and me, in our culture, in our mindset, that's weird. But God says, if you'll focus on me, if you'll seek after me, my kingdom, and my righteousness, that's all you need to do. The practice holds first priority in a wealthy Christian's life. Go to somebody that is financially secure in Christ and watch their life. You will find that the foremost thing in their life is their God, their walk with him, honoring him in all they do. And what they have is God's response to that. I'm going to explain that more to you in a minute. There's no lack. And so when you set the priority to where it should be and you practice it, what comes out of that then is a necessary pursuit. He's going to tell us how to take care of this. Jesus here shows us that our life as an adopted child of God is to be focused toward eternity with him in heaven. You get that? Your focus is not here, it's in heaven. And in all this intensity of seeking, there are a couple of things that are being pointed out here. Number one, we are, first of all, to find the kingdom of God. Now what? He says, first, seek the kingdom of God. If you stop for a minute and you think about what we've been learning in 1 Peter, do you see how that all Peter is teaching us in those first couple of chapters? We have been chosen. We are selected. We are sanctified. We are scattered throughout the world as missionaries. God has done that. And in calling and choosing us and bringing us to Christ, he's given us, listen, a new life that finds its origin where? In the Son of God. A new life in Christ. And then out of that new life in Christ comes holy living. How do we discover that? We do that by laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and strife of all kinds, and craving the sincere milk of the word. Why? That we may grow up into Christ. It all has to do with God and the pursuit of righteousness, holiness, the kingdom of God. And it all works together. You see, he tells us here to seek the kingdom of God because, listen, there's no higher prize. There's no higher good. There's no higher value, no higher object to be sought. To search, listen. When Jesus said, seek ye first, and he follows that in this case with the kingdom of God and then his righteousness. Beloved, listen to me. To spend your time looking for anything else is to declare, I'm looking for second best. I'm not looking for what God tells me, which is the best. I'm looking for second best. And may I suggest to you, that's why some of you are struggling in here this morning. In whatever area, some of you are struggling. And the reason is, if you'll sit down and you'll say, you know what, this whole area of struggle, I don't care what it is, you put it in, this whole area of struggle, if I sit down and I analyze it very carefully, it all begins with me, or I. And you will never find your way out of that. Sin, the essence of it, the nature of it, the character of it, will not allow it. Whatever that area of difficulty, struggle, conflict is, you have to get your head out high enough to say, I'm looking in the wrong direction for the wrong thing. I need to turn myself around and seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And when I do that, this will be straightened out. When a person claiming to be a Christian spends any effort seeking anything else, that person is declaring, worst of all, this way, but equally as bad is this way to others who are watching, both saved and unsaved, and what you're saying to them is, because I understand what God's done for me, I get it. But my desire is just second best. My desire is in this world. My desire is still to me. Oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. I want God's blessing, but that's the point. You have to get you out of the way. Simply stated, a pursuit of anything other than God is blasphemy to God. And you see, he would tell us, seek the kingdom of heaven. Why would he tell us that? Why? That's our last destination. That's where we're headed. Look for it. Discover it. Find it. That's where you're going to be throughout all eternity. And so, let me ask you something. Right now, the way you are, where you are, what is your all-consuming pursuit in your daily life? What is it? You got it? Is it God? Now, I understand the Sunday school answer. Yeah, it's God. Really? If that's true, why are you struggling so hard? God brings us through struggles, but they're not impossible. We see the benefit in them. He says, second, we are to seek the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Well, it's kind of like the attributes of God or those things that make God God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 2, I'm going to read around verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, I apologize. Deuteronomy 32 and about verse 4. Listen to this, huh? You'll like this. God, it says, He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. When you read your devotions, when you read through the Bible, and you read things like that, write those things down, say, God. And then under it you write, He is perfect, He is flawless, all His ways are just. He is a faithful God. That means He cannot leave you or forsake you. He does no wrong. He is upright and just. Now, listen. There are thousands of verses like that throughout the Scripture to teach us what God is like. What I want you to see is this. I want you to make a connection. Listen, in your personal struggle right now, what is it? Okay, you got it. Okay? What is it that you consider to be lacking? Just that one verse says, God is a perfect God. His ways are flawless. And so that means that when God leads you to the way to work through that problem, if His ways are flawless, whatever He's showing you has to be right, does it not?
That'd been a great place for an amen.
That's all right. We'll work on it. Beloved, do you see that? It's so important. Why would I want to do it God's way? It's the hard way. Really? Talk to Jesus about the hard way. And it says that He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. David says all His ways are flawless. His word is flawless. That means I can read this and trust what it says. Now, when we are involved in the righteousness of God, here's how it affects us. God's righteousness means that He always acts in accordance with what is right, and He is Himself the final standard of what is right. So that means you're not going to do any better. Just so you know, I did get a late start. No, you know, I got a late start. Now, when this is true and we follow Him, righteousness then is the fulfillment of the expectations in any relationship, whether to God or other people. I want you to write this down. I want you to take this home. So when you go back to the Old Testament and you hear Moses say to the people, the first rule of biblical wealth is remember the Lord your God. It is He who gave you the ability to be prosperous. It is He who gave you the ability to produce wealth. When you hear Solomon pray, give your child wisdom that I can discern. When David says, I delight in your law, I meditate in it day and night. Why is that? Why was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these people of God so richly blessed? This right here. They obeyed. You go ask anyone you know walking with the Lord and say, do you really do this stuff? And they will say, yes, to the best of my ability, it is my heart's desire to obey. And that's why they are so blessed. Because they read it and they say, I understand that when I do as God commands me, even if I don't like the idea or even if I think I can't, if I work at it, God then will shower His favor on me. I will be in a right relationship with my God. Listen, when you think of it that way, it makes pursuing another way really dumb, doesn't it? Why would I want to work against God? Now, very quickly, I want to tell you that if you get those three things in line, out of a practice, a priority, and a pursuit comes a necessary prosperity. I like this. This is so cool on God's part. If you think about all I've said in pursuing God and His righteousness, it makes a lot of sense. Are you in Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6. I'm looking at verse 33. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Will you just read that out loud with me from there on? "And all these things will be given to you as well," or added to you as well. Hold on to that, because there are three truths here that I want to share with you about biblical wealth from God's perspective and the prosperity. Number one, biblical wealth is conditional. Biblical wealth is conditional. Most of you were approached at some time or another about Amway, weren't you? When I was presented that, a person asked me, "Would you like to have $1 million?" Well, duh. Yeah, I would. Okay? I wasn't necessarily the spirit giant I am now, but I'm not yet. But I said, "Well, yeah, I want $1 million." And they said, "Well, are you willing to do whatever it would take to make $1 million? Oh, now that's a whole different question. I might have to pray about that. Huh? It was like anything else. If you do this, this happens. And if you start in Genesis chapter 3, you will discover God's blessing is always conditional. If you do this, then I will do this. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering where your next spiritual meal is coming from because you don't have enough spiritual wealth about you to make it through the rest of the day, you need to ask yourself, what's the conditions under which I'm working? What are the conditions? God says, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then I will add all of these things. Every biblical promise is conditional except the eternal security of our salvation that rests solely on God. Looking to be wealthy God's way, there is a condition. It is not only conditional, Jesus says, it is complete. It is complete. What does Jesus say will be added? What's the word he uses? All. All is all. Now, some of you don't believe that yet, but you need to. You need to believe all. God leaves nothing undone. God is a God of fullness. God is a God of completion. God is a God of totality. He cannot do something halfway. He can do something halfway in your life and you turn it off and then blame him for it. He says, if you will follow what I tell you, I will give you all. And watch this. Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. If we just stop right there, is that okay? It is conditional. If you follow the conditions, it's complete. Would that be all right? You don't know, do you? I'll sit down. We can pray about it in a minute. Watch. This is so God. Isn't that cool? It is. I'm sorry. I want to work. Come on. There. It is complimentary. It is complimentary. The statement says, and all these things will be added. And if you study that very critically from a language viewpoint, from a literature viewpoint, the completeness is an action coming from the giver to the recipient without charge. God does not charge us for what he gives us. Would you like to experience the wealth that God has? Some of you, listen, some of you do. Some of you in here are spiritual millionaires. Some of you are spiritual multimillionaires. Some of you are spiritual destitutes. Because you're going about this thing differently than Scripture says. Jesus says that my Father in heaven knows everything about you. He may have read Psalm 139. You should too. But my beloved, God knows everything you need. And listen, He knows everything you want. And it's not above God to fulfill your desires, but your needs have to be taken care of first. So can I just, I'm getting ready to close. Tell me, I want you to understand that He said, if we seek the kingdom of God, these things will be given. And it just, you can't do it any differently than that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all will be given. My beloved, don't leave here this morning and forget the only way I'm going to get it is to do what God says. You know where you need to do what God says. You know where you need to change. This is a promise. It is guaranteed prosperity God's way. Father, we do thank You for our time together. We thank You for the certainty of Your word. We thank You, our Father, for the clarity. We thank You for the blessing. It is sometimes hard. It is sometimes hard because Satan wants us to keep from enjoying what You have for us. So, Father, You know. You know where we struggle. You know where we're seeking other priorities. Meet us there and change our hearts and our minds that we might set our priorities right and first above all else, seek with all our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength for as long as You give us breath here, You, Your kingdom, and Your righteousness, and we will then be blessed to watch You supply to us more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Oh, Father, may it be. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.